In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and today we celebrate the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the first word that God spoke in Genesis? The first word, it's very important to know this. He said, "Let there be light." And the scripture says, "And there was light." Now, some people would say, well, that's when he created the sun and the moon. No, no, no. Because the sun and the moon were created on the fourth day. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What light was it that covered the face of the earth? It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God. Adam and Eve lived in the glory of God. They lived and walked in the presence of God. Oh, that light that shines from the Lord himself. For it says that in the scripture, it says at the end of the book of Revelation that there was no sun or moon. Oh, no. There will not be a sun or a moon in heaven. Let's see what it says. I'm going to look it up right now. We look at the 22nd chapter. And the scripture says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." 21. "And a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea, no more confusion. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away.' And he sat upon the throne and said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Oh, yes. "I make all things new." That's what Jesus does. "And he said, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst from the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, and I will show thee the bride and the lambs, who is the lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, coming, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, for her light was unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he carried me away in the spirit to the great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." The glory of God. That is the light in the city of God. That is the light in the city of God. "And the city had no need of sun nor moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light in that city." Oh, yes, for the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. The first word of God was, "Let there be light," and he put his glory in the atmosphere of the earth. that light that will shine in heaven from all eternity from the face of the Lamb of God. But we know that Adam and Eve sinned. We know that when they sinned, they fell short now of the glory of God. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the presence of God. We know that after that sin, every generation added to that sin. And the glory of God was taken up from the earth. The glory of God was taken up from the earth. And we know that the glory now shines on the face of Jesus. And how did Jesus restore the glory? It was through what he did on Good Friday. I want you to think about this today now, because on Good Friday, life and death contended in Jesus. Life and death, God and Satan were at war. Life and death were contending in Jesus in a battle stupendous. But you must hear this today. I will tell you why it was so important. Because the stakes were so high. The stakes were so high. Life and death contended in Jesus. And the stakes were so high. The stakes were not of the earth. You and I were the stakes. Because if death conquered, then you and I would end up in hell. Life and death was contending in Jesus. And he bore upon himself the sins of the world. He bore himself upon himself the agony of drawing every man and woman into his wounded side. He bore upon himself out of love for us because the stakes were you and I, everyone that would be born of a woman. Life and death contended in the master. And he broke it. He broke it. He broke it. He broke it. He broke death. He broke darkness. He broke sin. He broke it. He broke it. And you know what? He won for God a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a holy nation. That's what he won for God. I tell you, you know, if you want to, they were contending, life and death were contending in Jesus Christ. And as he drew you into his heart, he drew me into his heart. And here it is, here it is, here it is. Life wins over death through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquers not by waving a magic wand, but he conquers by being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that draws into himself all the sins of all humanity. He conquers. Jesus is the conqueror. Jesus alone is the conqueror. Life wins. Death loses. Jesus wins. And so now the glory of God is restored to God's people. For the glory of God now shines on the face of Jesus. And now we have access into the presence of God. We can go before the throne of God and say, Hallelujah, Father! No more is it that the high priest alone has access. But you and I have access because Jesus contended with death and won. And we won in him. We are more than conquerors in him, provided that we suffer with him. And as a result of that, the glory was restored in Jesus for us. For us. And now we belong to him. We belong to him. We belong to him. We belong to him. We are his. We are his. And we have access into the presence of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go before the throne of God and cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, 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 Father. Because Christ has conquered sin and death, and he has whipped Satan. And I'm saying the stakes were great on that Good Friday because it, was all about us. He did it for us. He did it for us when life and death contended. It contended over the souls of humanity, over your soul and my soul, over my body and your body. Now we have access to the throne of God. Now, beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. But we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, when life and death contended, I'm also telling you it was about us. It was all about us. It was all about us. Access into the throne room now. We don't have to wait for the high priest to go sprinkle blood, but we enter into that throne room through the precious blood of Jesus. Let's now look at the 24th chapter of St. Luke. Now very early on the first day of the week, in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. We have to remember why. They're bringing spices because they could not really anoint the body of Jesus on Friday because the next day was the Sabbath as well as the Feast of Passover. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces unto the earth, these two men said unto them, Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember how he spoke unto you when he said in the Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then arose Peter, and he ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Oh, he is not in the grave. Who were the first witnesses of this blessed resurrection? Oh, they are the women. They are the women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women, the ones that cared for the needs of Jesus. They are the witnesses. They are the witnesses that the tomb is empty. And they go back and tell the disciples, and the disciples says they're speaking ragtime. They're talking gibberish. How can it be? They didn't believe them. These were the women that went all the way to Calvary, who stood beneath the cross of Jesus with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They are the witnesses of the resurrection. You see, God's not like us. In the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, a woman could not be a witness. Their testimony would not hold in court. But the very witness of the resurrection will be Mary Magdalene. She will be the first to see the Lord Jesus Christ. She will be the first to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples laugh as if they're talking ragtime. But you see, it is always love that recognizes Jesus. Jesus always comes to those that are in love. It is not always authority. Peter was the authority. It is love that recognizes Jesus. He is not here. He has been raised. Death and life has contended, and life has won. And now it's resurrection power. This resurrection power, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. I want you to know this today. The only ancient historical religion is Judaism and Christianity. You must know that. Judaism and Christianity are historical. These Indian pagan religions have nothing to do with historicity. Our Lord Jesus Christ entered into history in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ entered into history. History is his story. Our Lord Jesus Christ contended against death out of love for you. The only religion that is historical would be Judaism and Christianity. You must know that. You must know the rest, it's all fictitious. When we talk about the Indian religion in the East, they're gods, Rama and all the rest of them. They are not gods, they're demons. But they are, they're demons. They are not historical. They didn't come. God did not come as a frog or as a cow. God came as a human being once and for all. His name is Jesus Christ, and he contended with death on the cross, and he won the victory, and you were the stakes that you would live for him, no longer for yourself. You must know that. You must know that the stakes were great. He did it out of love for you, out of perfect love for you, out of perfect love. I'm going to tell you, from the very beginning, men and women have witnessed to him, have witnessed to his resurrection by dying, by literally dying. We know that the early Christians died. We know that the early Christians died. But I'm telling you, in 1999, 365,000 people died for Jesus Christ. People who still witness with their blood. They're called martyrs. They are ever before the throne of God, worshiping God. These wonderful martyrs. They are not Christians when it's convenient. They shed their blood for Jesus. In 1999, 365,000 people died. We are living in the age of martyrs. You must know that. And martyrdom takes place every single day in Nigeria, in the Middle East, in Indonesia, in all these places where the Muslims are, who are fanatical, who hate Jesus Christ. You must know that the greatest witness of the resurrection, yes, it was Mary and it was the disciples who saw, and yes, the ones who ate with him. But I'm telling you, the greatest witness of the resurrection is the changed life, and that people today still will die for Jesus. They still will die for Jesus. I was in an airport several months ago. I was there waiting for my plane. I had my buddy pass, hoping that I could get on. And, it was very, very interesting. There was this big, young black man that sat next to me. So I started to talk with him, and he was very interesting. I said, "Where did you come from?" He says, "I come from the Sudan." Now, I know that in the Sudan, the hundreds and thousands have given their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that because a priest once came to visit us from the Sudan. His whole congregation, parish, were martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he was so depressed and so despondent, I'll never forget. He came to the espousal retreat house, and we prayed with him, and we worshiped the Lord, and we prayed over him. I'll never forget how despondent this poor priest was. So I have this young man, and his parents came from the Sudan, and he came from the Sudan. And I wanted to be very, very careful. I wanted to say, tell me about your parents. And he said, "My parents were martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were Catholics who were martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. They held out till the end. They held out to the end." I looked at him and I said, "Your parents are saints. They are before the throne of God in white robes right now, worshiping God. They found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. You see, Jesus Christ contended for them on the cross, and they offered Jesus all that they could give, and that was their lives." And so I looked at this young man and I said to him, how did you escape? He said, while my parents were being killed, I hid. I hid. Oh, yes, death and life contended upon the cross, and Jesus Christ won, life won, and that means he won for you, and he has restored us back to the glory of God. For through the blood, and through his cross, and through his resurrection, we are restored back to the glory of God. We are restored back to the glory of God. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. But we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, 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 we are God's children now because of the blood, because of the cross, because death and life contended and life won. Oh, we are God's children now through faith and baptism. We are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, beloved, you are who you are, a child of God, because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And yes, men and women have given their life for Jesus Christ, and today, even as I speak, today on Easter Monday, people will give their life for Jesus Christ the Lord, because they have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. And here we are in the West, in America. Here we are. We'll fill the church on an Easter morning. But our hearts are not sold out to Jesus Christ. Our lives are not sold out to Jesus Christ. Our beings are not sold out to Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ conquered sin and death and the devil. And for the most part, the only thing he has in our midst, cheap labor. People that will not give their lives for the Lord. People that will not give their lives in the now for the Lord. People who will not stand up for Jesus. I'll tell you, we have a whole lot of wimps that call themselves Christians. But I'm saying this to you today, the stakes were great upon the cross, and they were great because he wanted to win you for the kingdom of God, and through his death and resurrection, that's what he does. And what does he get from us? Most of us, he gets a nod, a little nod. We'll go smell the flowers on Easter, or we'll say a couple of little prayers. I'm telling you, he's not looking for a couple of little prayers. He's looking for disciples that will follow him to the very end, that will give their lives unto him, because they have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. I'm telling you, he's not looking for a wimp church that wants to please the Boston Globe. I'm telling you, he's looking for people who would do the right thing and say the right thing, no matter what it costs, no matter what the cost is. For our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death and sin and the grave out of love for us, and he's looking for people who would give their lives to him. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. And you know what? He doesn't find it very often. He finds namby-pamby, milquetoast people, including myself. Namby-pamby, milquetoast people. I take you to Boston right now. I take you to Boston right now. There was a prophet that screamed in front of Kennedy and Kerry and the whole bunch of them. It was me. They said, you know, you continue to do embryonic stem cell research and you continue to have abortion, then the violence of Boston will increase and the blood will be on your hands. I said it. I said it. The word of God was proclaimed that day. I said it, and we are reaping the benefits. I said, Travellini is doing this out of love for money. He's got a big money job in a hospital now. You see, the prophetic word was spoken, but you know what? Nobody listens. I'm not telling you that I'm great, okay? I have nothing great in me. I have nothing that I have not received. But I will tell you that I am prophetic. And the prophetic was against the church that day and against the people that day, because we continue to allow abortion, stem cell research. Violence breeds violence. Believe me, that's what we're enduring now. And so we're reading in the newspaper about all the violence in the city of Boston, people asking Menino to do something about it. I'm telling you, the only way to do something about it is to repent and to stop killing our children and to stop exploiting these little individuals called embryonic stem cells. I'm telling you, we continue to have violence in the abortion mills, and with these little individuals, there will be nothing but violence out in the streets of Boston, and our politicians will be the ones that the blood is on their hands. And not only our politicians, but those Catholics and Christians that have elected them. For death and life are contending even in our city, and there's only one victory, and the victory is in the cross of Jesus Christ and in doing the right thing. That's the victory. And yet we do not believe that our acts have consequences in the heavens. Continue to abort, continue to kill, continue to exploit these little individuals, and what you will have in Boston is not a blessed resurrection day, but what you will have in Boston will be the darkest days that are to come, and it will be the wrath of God on the church first, because we did nothing and do nothing. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Every cemetery should have white banners out today, because death has been conquered in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he did it for you. Don't give him cheap words. Give him your life. Take our lives, O Lord. And I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills, because you know what? We're very low. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Everyone pray for David today. It's crucial. God bless you. It's crucial to pray for David.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.